Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. The gospel lesson for today is one of my favorite, and yet it is also so problematic. Simon's mother-in-law is ill. And Jesus enters the house, she's got a fever, and they told Jesus about it. And Jesus came, and in our text it says, and Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. And it's an okay translation, but you miss something. The word that's used, translated, lift her up, is raised. He raised her. It's the word that will be used over and over again in the Gospel of Mark to refer to how Jesus lifts up and raises those who are most in need. It's a word related to the word for how Jesus will be raised from the dead. In this lesson for this morning, Jesus raises her up. And she serves them. This is a great text. I mean, think of it this way. Jesus, time and time and time again throughout the gospel, is calling the disciples to do what? A lot of things, but particularly, is Jesus calling them to go get the best room at the Hyatt in Jerusalem? And hang out and shout out from the whole, you know, hey, Jesus wants you to change. No. He's always calling them to serve. Over and over and over again. He says to them, go out and proclaim the gospel. Heal people, share with people, do all of these things. And in fact, when you go into a village, what are you supposed to do? Well, you just go to the house. And if you receive there, stay there the whole time. Eat what's given to you. Serve. In this gospel lesson for this morning, Simon's mother-in-law becomes a disciple of Jesus. She is raised up to serve. It's why I find it so interesting that part of the checkered past of this text is it's one of a handful of texts that is used to limit the role of women in ministry. Someone said this morning after my sermon, so like what year is this exactly? One of our leading theologians wrote, she writes a lot of angry stuff anyway, so that was nothing new, but she wrote this really poignant response to a recent editorial that was written by a male pastor. Now, this commentator, Carolyn Lewis, is a seminary professor and, you know, pretty darn good theologian. I read her stuff most weeks. But Carolyn was responding because this guy had written and said that the role of women serving within the church should not include teaching in seminaries. Hence the, what year is this? Now, he very graciously conceded that perhaps a woman could go to seminary, but she shouldn't teach there, because the ministry was largely for men, and a woman couldn't possibly teach correctly. This text is used sometimes to reinforce that notion. What was the role of Simon's mother-in-law? It was to be domestic. Up and fix their lunch and serve them and do the dishes, and that's the role this particular guy sees for women, even in the church. but she is a servant. And in fact, serves as the archetype for all the disciples, whose role from this day forward will be to do nothing more and to do nothing less than to serve God's people. That we would then use this text as a way to say, well, you can serve, but you can only serve in this way, is of course ludicrous on its face. If for no other reason than this, I have done more domestic work in my role as a pastor than probably I ever do at home. Although I cook and clean and do all that stuff at home, but you know, as a pastor, I wash the dishes, I clean the toilets, I fix the stupid toilets. We do all of this work. It sort of comes with the territory. So how is that any different than Simon's mother-in-law? And why would she say, well, she can do it, but not with a collar on? At the core is that we have all been called to be Christ's disciples, and that there is no differentiation because of our gender or our sexuality, our color, our race, or our language. This God, as Isaiah says, who spreads out all of the heavens, sees us all as grasshoppers. And by God, if a grasshopper can serve, so can a woman. And yet today, in this day and age, we still want to say that we have the right, and in this man's case, the responsibility, to limit who can serve. What if instead we asked a different question? You know, at the core of what Jesus is up to in this particular text is he's raising her up that she might be a disciple, that she might serve. In this day and age, we need to see that partly as what's happening even within our own church. As part of that rant, I sort of went on to my twice yearly sojourn onto the ELCA clergy Facebook page, which I can never go to because it makes me so upset every time I go. And there was these questions about, it's always the same, the church is dying. And again, the church is dying. It was dying the last time I got on their Facebook page. And of course, I never write anything because I'll say things like, well, the church has always been dying, right? But the church is dying and there's not enough clergy, and that other clergy are saying, but I've been waiting 10 years for a call. And women in particular can often get their first call, but not a second. And this one person spoke and said, look, our church is dying and no one's doing anything about it. And it just sort of dissolved into a long, whiny, tear-stained tissue. And I kept thinking about this story. The woman is sick and maybe even dying. And maybe that's us. Maybe that's the church. Maybe we are sick and out of touch. Maybe we are dying. But what if we asked this question? I wonder what Jesus is raising us up for in this day. I wonder how Jesus, for whom Jesus is taking our hand and raising us up to serve. Structurally, as a church, we are well suited and well prepared to serve the society of 1847. And if things ever go back to 1847, we will be ready for it. But I wonder what God will raise our dying, or for whom God will raise our dying church to serve. I believe with all my heart that is what God is up to. Raising us up like Simon's mother-in-law, that we might serve the world. So who is it that God is raising us to serve? I have no idea yet. But at least we know the question to ask. Maybe we can stop worrying about clergy shortages and money shortages. Maybe we can quit spending all of our time worrying about the demise of a church of 100 years ago. And begin to wonder with excitement and enthusiasm and hope about the church that God is raising us up to serve. Amen.